Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, people. This is Carl, and we're going to do our Bible study on Freedomizer Radio for the next 90 minutes. Raven will be joining us as a co-host and actually one who discusses each scripture with us and joining the Bible study. And we invite you to call in if you'd like to make a comment or to ask a question or whatever you would like to do relevant to what we're doing. The phone number, and this is a number that is toll-free anywhere in continental United States. It's toll-free anywhere in continental United States, either from a cell phone or a landline. And that number is 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. And if you call in and have a question or a comment, and this is not a hard and fast rule, because truthfully we have very few people who call in, but you want to comment on anything biblically, but ideally if you have ideas about the scripture we're reading or want to add something to it or ask a question relevant to the scriptures we're reading, it would be very helpful to everybody, me included. Because remember, I'm looking at this the same way you are. We're seeing one view. I was born and raised in New York City. And, you know, we had huge buildings, obviously. And you could walk for 20 minutes around a building and stop and take different views and different shots of the same building. But depending on who you were, where you were, it would be a little bit of the same building, the same conversation piece, but you're seeing something different than someone else did. And that's an analogy I come up with. Hopefully it makes sense. We're going to go ahead today and we're going to start the study where we left off. We left off in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 1. And be honest with you, moving on, my intention is to do 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Samuel. And then we're going to go into some other areas, which may even be probably going to move into the New Testament. When Raven gets on, we're going to start. And I'm going to just have her read. I'm going to have her read 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 3 before we get into doing 1 Samuel chapter 4. In fact, I'll read them, being she hasn't called in yet. In fact, I'm going to start with actually read 1 Samuel 3:15. It says, Samuel laid until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And then 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he, meaning the Lord, has said to you, meaning Samuel. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good. And this is what Eli is saying, a little light in his life, that he finally condescended to allowing God to rule in his life. In fact, much too late. Now, there comes a time where God draws a line in the sand. Remember, he gave the Israelites, who he delivered out of Egypt miraculously, and gave them how many years? He gave them 40 years, and they still would not turn. They would not turn from their wickedness. And he said, they will never enter my rest, which has eternal consequences. And that's in Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 11. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord had revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord here in my Bible. I have brackets around it and underlined in red. God reveals himself to us, folks, through the word, through his word. There is so much degrading today by the modern Laodicean supposed Christian church about the word of God. There are even major denominations, major followings in this country that are now putting the Quran in the churches with the Bible. We have gone completely insane. How are people degrading the Bible? When you're giving sermons from sermon.com, you're using stories to give lectures with that are supposedly God-inspired sermons. Why? In a Bible that has got 66 books in it, every word inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Every word inspired by the Holy Spirit. What is wrong with us today that we, with men who are supposedly college graduates or not college graduates, but are ordained ministers, and in some cases they're not ordained, they may be voluntary people, but why, out of 66 books, they don't feel that the Holy Spirit and him alone can provide them with a spiritual, meaningful 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, 45-minute sermon, we'll call it. That is something that fascinates me beyond fascination. But again, we're paying the price. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will heal the land. And if anybody thinks that this land is being healed, then we're in a different planet, a totally different planet. We have got to make a decision in our lives, folks. Are we going to get back? Are we going to get back to the scripture, or are we going to go along with the rest of the Laodicean church today that thinks it's comical to make jokes? And I'm quoting well-known evangelists, nationally known, even by those who don't claim to be religious or followers of Christ. There is no need for the Bible today. The Bible is not relevant to today, and today is not relevant for the Bible. If I were to tell you who said that, you would probably be annoyed at me and angry and say I'm a troublemaker. But that is something that is in writing. And then another one, another very famous, maybe more so popular than the first one, made a comment years ago that was recently taken off of their website because of pushback, that I have never read the Old Testament and don't intend to. We've got denominations that are only preaching and teaching out of the scripture the words in red, when every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We want to change this nation, folks, and I'm telling you, I have been in 1964, I was 21 and able to vote, and I've never missed voting. I vote in the midterms. I vote in local elections, state elections. that the problem and solution is not politics. It is, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it is the people of God who have not humbled themselves, turned back to God, seek his face, pray, and stop their sinning. That is the cause of the problem and the solution of the problem to the United States and every other power or area that has become a world power and is collapsing. We are collapsing from the inside out, and it's moral decay from within. It always has been. It always will be. So now I'm going to go ahead and start in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. The word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. Okay, now here we have Samuel now leading Israel, now guiding Israel. And Israel went out to fight the Philistines. This is going to get very interesting. And remember, Israel was going through a period here where Eli was the priest, and he had two sons who were called in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. They were called sons of Belial, which is Satan, the devil. And they led Israel away from God, and they did nothing. Eli, the priest, did absolutely nothing to correct his own family, his two sons, who were called by the Bible sons of Belial. He did nothing to correct them whatsoever. And he did nothing to turn Israel back to God. And they had disaster, disaster after disaster. Now Israel is now turned, there's going to be another battle going on. Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in a place called Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined the battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Is this going to get their attention, folks? Obviously, it did for a short period of time, because the whole book of Judges, we saw that for 450 years, roughly, that they went through 9 different apostasies. And every time they repented, God gave them another judge. They turned back to God for a short period of time, sometimes no more than 10 years, sometimes up to 50 years, and they had prosperity. Again, everything goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you believe that. If you don't, we're reaping the rewards of what we sow. In Galatians, it says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you will reap. And baby, are we ever reaping it. And again, even a person who claims to be an atheist, even though there's debate that you can't be an atheist, and I understand those statements, but a person who claims to be, they are now concerned about the moral degradation of this country. And it goes right back to where judgment is going to start, that Peter in his epistles says, judgment will start at the house of God, the church. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, you have to look at that. You could not misunderstand that the cause of the failure of a nation is because the church has failed and turned from God. So here we have Israel doing this. Hold on. Okay, you're there.
Hey, obviously. Carl. I am here.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and say a prayer and for everybody on here, including us, and we will proceed with 1 Samuel chapter 4.
Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, which, although it's very hot outside, I'm keeping beautiful cool inside, and I pray that everyone else is as well. We come before you now asking you to bless us as we go forth in this study, continue studying about Samuel, and we know that you definitely will guide us, lead us, give us the words to speak as we study with him, as you have in the past, and we're excited to learn more and to hear everything that you have to show us. And we hope that those who are about to listen feel the same, and we're looking forward to hearing the wonderful things that you bless us with today. In Christ's name, amen. All right.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1.
Yes.
And remember, last week we talked about how Eli told Samuel to tell him what the Lord was going to do in his kingdom. He knew he was going to be punished. He knew he was an unworthy priest. He knew his sons were satanic, which the Bible says they are in 1 Samuel 2:12. And he did absolutely nothing. He was a failure, folks, in every way, as much as the ministry is today. They are sanctioning in Christian denominations, sanctioning things that one generation ago, or even less, people would have been appalled to even think happens in this country, no less denominations of so-called Christianity sanctioning it. Not only sanctioning it, demanding it. So let's go ahead and read verse 21 of 1 Samuel 3, and then start in 1 Samuel chapter 4.
Okay, verse 21 of 3. Okay, yes, last verse. You know, I have to tell you something. It's interesting. It's so interesting that, you know, there's a verse, and let me find it, because this just blew me away yesterday. Absolutely, this is something that, now, we haven't specifically studied this verse yet, but it has to do with what we have been studying. Isaiah 55, mm-hmm. verse 11. And it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So, you know, every time he gives us the word, every time we go out and speak it and study it, and he tells us, you know, he talks to us through it, it's always going to have a purpose, right? And we've talked, you know, we've studied Samuel, and we've read Daniel recently and everything. And something that I don't remember if this came, Carl, I know that you and I have been studying Daniel lately. And in Daniel, it's explicitly, it talks about, and you and I talked about this just the other day, about how Michael, the archangel, you know, it came forth to help because Daniel had prayed and he was fighting, struggling, because for a while, for 3 weeks actually it was, he didn't get any help. And sometimes we feel like we go for months, even years sometimes, or sometimes just weeks without hearing from God. Someone else made a comment very similar to me just yesterday. And so what you and I have been studying, immediately God brought that back to me, immediately. And so that verse, God, you know, speaks to us, will not come, you know, doesn't come back void, you know, that immediately that verse came back to me, because That's so true. When we put our minds forth to study his word, when we really study it and not just, as you've commented before, not just go out and try to, you know, read through the whole Bible in 90 days or something, you know, just kind of zip through it, then it will not come back void. God will use it in our lives and remind us of verses like this as we need them, as he purposes to use them.
It happens every day.
Yes. Yeah, and God just reminded me of that as we were, for some reason, as we were reading this, because...
Oh, that's fine.
I guess because this study, as we're doing it now, you know, there's going to be things that as we go throughout the week, the day, the month, whatever, God will say to us, remember that study, remember that verse that hit you so hard.
Absolutely.
Now is the time that you can use that. Yeah.
Well, look at verse 21. Just read. How did God
the
reveal
Lord
himself to Samuel?
Yes.
How? How did
through
he reveal
himself? Through
the word of the Lord. Amen.
Through
the
word
that
of
is
the
where
Lord.
That's where we've gone haywire in the churches today. We got mainline denominations out there who have Korans in the church pews along with the Bible. We have pastors who ridicule, and sometimes it really is ridicule, the word of the Lord. You don't need to have a 500-pound Bible to go to heaven. That is true, but it's a stupid statement. What they're doing is they're degrading the word of God. That's why this country is in the deep stuff we're in.
Yeah.
We don't want to listen to the word of the Lord anymore. We do not want to listen to the word of the Lord anymore.
Yeah, right. Now, I have several Bibles. Now, I'm not saying, oh, yeah, look at me. But what I'm saying is, I've got one in, you know, in my bedroom. I've got one in my bookcase. I got one right next to my, you know, table in the living room. I've got a couple of them on my phone. My point is not, oh, hey, I'm so holy because I've got so many Bibles. My point is, you know, that it's good to have them available to you so that as you are, you know, going throughout your day, wherever you are, you have the ability to seek out his word as you find it necessary instead of just trying to think about, oh, you know, what should I do? What should I do in this instance? Go to the word of God. You know, don't just try to figure it out on your own. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well,
Based
on what you're saying, I want you to go to 1 Samuel 8.
Okay. I'm there.
And I want you to read verse 6. And before you read it, this is where I see the churches heading at breakneck speed. Breakneck speed. This is where the churches have been heading. And they're getting increasingly worse. I'm telling you, it went back, Raven. It went back from sermons that I heard from books written by supposedly Christian authors to then sermons and Bible studies done on not novel books by Christian authors, but by commentaries of man. The ministry today has totally spit in the face, and I'm talking about, I shouldn't say totally, the great part of the ministry today has degraded the Bible to where the jerks like me, and I was a jerk, we sit there and think, oh, you don't really need a 500-pound, 400-pound Bible. Now, isn't that a stupid statement? When you listen to that 400-pound Bible to go to heaven, you know right now that somebody is being sarcastic toward the Scripture.
Yes. Yes. Do you
why
know anyone with a 400-pound Bible?
Raven? Hold up. Yeah, hold on. Why would you even say that, folks, in a church? You don't need a 400-pound Bible. You want to just say, like our Pastor Rands did today, he said, folks, all the money you give, will not save your soul. All your religious right. discipline and your religious performance and all your religious obedience will not save your soul. Your baptism by
right.
water will not save your soul. Why
right.
don't they just say that the Bible in itself, reading it, is not something that saves your soul? Why do you have to say you don't need, or like a man who recently retired said, the Bible is not pertinent today, today not pertinent? Why would an ordained minister say that? Do you get the point I'm making, folks? I'm not trying to be cruel to anybody. Why would a person who's supposedly called by God, called by God, why would you say something like that? Sarcasm, disdain for the word of God. Now, I want you to read 1 Samuel 8:6, and this was where Israel told God, we no longer want you ruling over us. And trust me, folks, the United States of America has been in this vein, in my opinion, this is only an opinion, for the last 100 years.
Yes, I agree. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord.
Okay, now go over to verse 21 and 22. We're going to play around with God. We're going to make fun of the Bible. We're going to give sermons and Bible studies from man's books that they've written. We're going to give sermons and Bible studies from commentaries rather than the Bible. Read 21 and 22.
I'm going to start in 18, if that's okay, because I think it's relevant.
What?
I'm going to start in verse 18, if that's okay, because I think it's relevant.
I don't care. Raven, here, you can add. I'm just pointing you to where to go.
Okay.
If you add a verse, I don't care.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You will cry out in that day because of your king who you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. I think we're there right now.
Oh,
nevertheless,
we've been there.
Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice. The Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. That's got to be some of the saddest verses in the Bible, you know, other than that where we were, where we fell in Genesis, you know. Very sad.
But this is exactly where I see much of the modern church directing us.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying that it's the unforgivable sin if you use an iPad or a phone to read the Bible? That's getting silly, folks. That's
right.
getting silly. What I am saying is these evil preaching and teaching for the at least the last 73 years that I've been listening to supposedly God-called men, they're more and more increasing and getting away from the Bible and making little snide remarks about it and little jokes that we laugh at uncomfortably because we know it's wrong. I want you to read verse 17. Go to 1 Peter 4 and read 17. And, folks, this is not going to happen. This is happening right now. 1 Peter 4, 17 is in process, full blown, right now.
All right. All right, let me get there. Oops, that's Timothy.
We are there. Many years ago in the times when you had a little black and white TV, maybe a 10-inch screen or something, there was a program that I'm going to say Edward R. Murrow, but I could be wrong, was hosting called We Are There. And what Raven's going to read here in 1 Peter 4:17, we are there. It's not coming.
Yeah. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first.
And that's where it's going to begin, folks.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to begin.
And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
So we're right there, and 1 Samuel, folks, is nothing different than we're doing today. We're out there fighting political wars, which you should vote. I never said don't. I've never missed an election. I don't intend to until I can.
Right.
But politics, folks, is not the solution to the moral problem of our own lives, our family, or of the United States of America. It is religion, it is spiritual decay from within, the same thing that brought down the Roman Empire. There was no other empire that I'm aware of. The Roman Empire was all of it. But guess what? God took them down in a whim. So let's continue then. Let's go ahead and continue with 1 Samuel 4:1. And I don't want you to look at this as history. This is what has happened to Israel time after time,
right.
450 years during the book of Judges. They had nine different apostate periods. And for nine times, they suffered for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, losing 2,000 and 3,000 men in a battle in one day. And we're doing the same thing in this country. Do you know, I read the other, this week, or not read, heard, of the different food major corporations that are processing food and farms are owned right now by a foreign enemy.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I mean, I can mention the names of the companies. That's not what I'm looking to do. I'm not criticizing anybody by name. But folks, once they own our food supply, as they say in football, we're toast. We're done.
Yeah.
So go ahead with Samuel 4:1. Yeah.
I saw yesterday, Carl, that the American Obstetrics Association, I believe it is, it's either the Obstetrics Association or the Gynecological and Obstetrics Association, is now calling for complete national allowance of abortion up to and including birth.
Oh, yeah.
And
Raymond,
this is just,
sin
this
never,
just happened.
Hold on. Sin never gets enough, folks. Now, we have sat by, and when I say we, the pronoun we includes the great me, we have sat by and done nothing about abortion since 1972. Oh, do we protest? Do we get in churches and yell and sure do? But we've done nothing. Okay.
Right.
Sin never gets enough.
Now, these are the very people that deliver babies, that are taking
I
care
that,
of,
but,
supposedly.
Okay, hold on, Raven. Sin never gets enough, folks. You want to start with abortion? You know what's going to happen now? For 51 years, I've sat on my haunches doing nothing about it. Oh, I complain. I talk like a big authority and a powerful adversary in a private little group where I know there's no enemy. You know what's going to happen?
Right.
Trust me, this is going to happen, even though I may not live to see it. The next step, they're now going to kill babies after they're born. That's coming. That's already happened in this country. The next step
is already happening, yeah.
The next step is guess who's going to be eliminated next once they justify killing a live baby? It's going to be you and I, the old folks, who are sucking up the Social Security money. You don't think that's going to happen? Again, we're in a different planet.
It'll also be mentally disabled.
Oh,
it'll also
absolutely.
Be the very disabled.
Anybody who's a drain on the system, isn't that the mentality of Adolf Hitler? Same thing.
Yes.
We are.
Absolutely.
Pastor Dave said one time, you cannot plant grapes and get apples. It ain't going to happen. Folks, we are justifying killing babies. The next ones who are going to get killed are going to be the people who 51, 52 years ago and moving forth through the last half century have absolutely done nothing out of our comfort zone to put an end to abortion. I'm not talking about carrying a darn sign. I'm talking about risking your reputation, risking your job, risking political.
Yes.
We've done nothing. And guess who's going to be the next one? Sin never stops. Religion never stops. It taunts everything you've got. And all religion is sin. The only thing that is not sin is faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm going to tell you something. Even though I'm 80, and I may not live to see it, although I think I will, the next step after justifying killing babies who have been given birth to is going to be to take those who are draining the Social Security system, which is people like I. That's coming. It's happened before. It happened in my lifetime during Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, this just reminded me. This reminded me of something. On social media the other day, I noticed they were talking about, some of this really bad stuff that's going on politically right now and just blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into
It's a joke.
It is. But it doesn't matter who you're for, you know. The point is, this guy was saying, you know, there's going to end up being a revolution, you know, or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, but anyway, what his comment was, he said, they don't understand. If something doesn't change soon, it's going to be, people are going to get
too
so
late.
Upset that it's good. He said, it's going to be biblical proportions. And I said to him, I said, you know, you have no idea just how right you actually are, you know, because people are saying this right now. It's going to be biblical. It's going to be biblical. But they don't really realize how correct their comment is. But his comment back to me was, oh, you're so right. We're going to take over and we're going to this. And so I let it go because he really doesn't understand. Even after I said that
no,
people
I understand.
Have no idea. Yeah, you know, because people don't. They have no, when they make comments like that, they have no idea how close to the truth their comment is.
You're right.
It is going to be biblical, literally biblical.
It's a cliche that fits, but they are right. And what they're saying, it's going to end up in the wrath of God. And Jesus in Matthew 24 says that's going to be a period unlike has ever happened in the world or ever will happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to be begging to commit suicide. Hold on. People are going to be begging to commit suicide, and they're not going to be allowed to. Biblical proportions, that's an understatement.
Right. They think that they're going to make it some biblical proportions, but no. This is going to be literally God. It is going to be biblical, all right, but it's not going to be because they've made anything biblical. This is going to be God's final song.
It is
That's
his
right.
final. But we're working up to it, folks. And the churches in America in the last 73 years that I have been going to church conscious of it. I'm 80 years old. I would say about 7-8 years old, I became conscious of it. So 72, 73 years. I can honestly say money and works has been the mantra of so-called Christianity. And that is Revelation 3:14-17. That is the Church of Laodicea. And the Church of Laodicea is the last church, which we are. And Jesus Christ, even in Jezebel's church, had at least one or two good things to say about the churches, all of them. The only church that he says five adjectives and all are condemning is the Church of Laodicea, which we are today. We are rushing into the gates of hell at breakneck speed. So let's go ahead then back to 1 Samuel 4, and let's watch. I don't want you to take this just as history. This is what we are doing in the United States of America today. We have left the Word of God. We are trying to throw back in God's face what she read in 1 Samuel 8:6. We no longer want God to rule over us. And he's going to allow that, folks. He's going to allow that to the so-called Christian church. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army.
Hold on.
Okay.
Yep. Folks, if God allowed this to happen to his people Israel, the chosen race, are we so naive in this country to believe that after all these years of nothing but blessings, that he is going to turn us over to total destruction? Now look at these people. This here, 4,000 men in one day. You know what? Although it doesn't say one day, but I'm going to assume it was in a short period of time. 4,000 people. But the people did not wake up, folks. We have killed anywhere between 70 and 90 million babies in the last 51, 52 years. And we have been silent in the churches about it. People say, oh, what can I do? Really? I'd like you someday, when you go into eternity, ask a lady named Rosa Parks what one person can do.
Yeah.
One person who's committed to something. I'm serious.
You're right, Carl.
Ask that
lady. Carl.
Oh, she gives me goosebumps because I know that I have sat by and I have done nothing.
Okay.
Remember the old Don Knotts, the comedian? Don Knotts always used to quip, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
That's the way Carl has been. Carl has been that way. I'm now 80 years old. I can barely maneuver myself, but I have sat by since abortion started. When it started, I justified it. Well, at least we're going to have doctors doing it under medical supervision. That was a coward's way out on my part. And I also, like everybody else who says, what does one vote mean? I thought, what can Carl do to do anything against abortion? Again, someday Rosa Parks, someday, may meet her in eternity, and she may be able to tell me. I'm not saying go out and get political and do what Rosa Parks did was nothing. She was just committed. And look what that lady did in the span of how many years? From 1955 or 56 down in Alabama? She changed the direction of the United States forever because she was committed to what she believed. We in the Christian church, and we means I and you, have not been committed to what we believe. We're committed until the pastor shuts up and we get out and get on with the business we got to do on Sunday.
And you know, Carl, we don't have to carry a picket sign. You know, we don't have to do anything.
That is the stupidity we've done. I have carried signs. Oh, that changed a lot, didn't it?
You know what the best thing somebody could do as far as abortion is to walk down, in my opinion, one of the things that someone could do is simply be down there, and if you see someone, just walk up to them and say, can I just pray with you? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to be confrontational. In fact, that'd be the worst thing you could do. certainly don't say, boy, you're a bad person. Don't, you know, no. just very gently say, can I just pray with you?
Raven, but hold on. What can we do? What did Rosa Parks stir up that changed the laws in the United States? We can vote, folks. The so-called right, the so-called Republicans, whatever you want to call it, have historically,
right.
It's a joke that the other side makes fun of. We do not vote. We do not vote. Don't touch my Monday
right.
night football. Don't touch my
right.
my pornography on my cell phone. Let me continue to
right.
play the game. One thing we could have done, folks, and we dropped the ball, and I mean I. Oh, I went and voted, but I never got into anything controversial. No, no. I'm Don Knotts all the way, and I'm gonna hear about it.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
could have voted.
I mean, you know.
We still
yeah.
don't vote.
We could have influenced someone else's vote.
Yep. This group, folks, the so-called right, or whatever you want to call it, Republicans, it's historical that we are passive and we don't vote en masse.
Yeah.
No, causing a riot or the stupidest thing we've ever done, in my opinion, is blowing up abortion clinics. So we're killing people
yeah.
because we're protesting killing babies. Now, that doesn't make sense,
right.
even if there is no God. That's a stupid statement.
Right.
We
if
have
you have a neighbor,
where...
I just was going to say, if you have a neighbor that can't get out and maybe, you know, I mean, you know, an elderly neighbor, ask them if they're registered. Ask them if they need a ride down to the voting booths. You know, I mean, there are things we can do.
Well, okay, but it's done. It's gone, folks. It is beyond bringing back. I'm talking about what we could have done. So that's all I ever hear people say. What does my vote count? What could I have done to stop abortion? You could have in mass
right.
got off our dump and did what the other side did. And I give Rosa Parks and her fellow people credit. They believed in what they believed, and they got the laws changed in this country. We are too stinking busy with chasing our gold, our money, our dreams, whatever it is. We are known
right.
in this country, the right, the Republicans, whatever you want to call it, are known for not turning out and voting.
Right.
We have done nothing. We have done nothing. And how many people have died? Now, let me ask you a question. There was an old man, 6,000 years old now, who killed his brother. It was called
yeah.
Cain killed his brother Samuel. And what did God do?
Abel.
He came to Cain, and he gave him a chance to repent. He would not repent, and he has been in the lake. He has been not the lake of fire. That's not is no occupants yet. He has been in the burning side of Hades for the last 6,000 years because he now. If God is going to forgive this country for doing nothing and walking by 70 to 90 million abortions, I hear all these figures from the CDC, the AMA. The nearest I could have from everybody I hear is between 70 and 90 million. And God would not tolerate one person's death. You think we're going to get away with this? If he does, and this is a terrible thing to say. If the world ended and all the history are written and God did not take vengeance on us for abortion, I would have to say I'm an atheist, and I'll leave it at that. All right, we've read up through verse 2. Remember,
yeah.
this is I don't want you to look at this as history. This is going to happen to the USA. Because we are not
yeah.
following God. We've got our ministers. We've got a major denominations, more than one, demanding that you ordain lesbians and homosexuals, demanding that you
yeah.
perform same-sex marriages. These are not just wackos from Waco. These are major denominations, more than one.
Yeah.
We've got major denominations in Christianity who are now putting Korans in the pew to read, because it's like one man who came up with Chrislam, who has been who has a PhD and a Southern Baptist, a Baptist evangelist. In addition to saying the Bible has no relevance today, today has no relevance to the Bible, we no longer need a Bible, he has said that Christianity is just one way to God, that Islam is another way to God, and he wants to get Roman Catholicism in. He is retired. Whether he's given up on that, I don't know. But, folks, my point is the horses are gone from the barn. There's nothing you can do now. Go pray for a person, yes. Go even offer them assistance, yes. Do that. But we, as a group of people who are in my age group, are going to be held accountable somehow, some way. It's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. If God did not do it, even though my little hide is going to singe, and I'm not saying I'm going to lose my salvation. I never said that. But we're going to pay, or he owes Cain a whole lot of apologies. God does, and that's stupid. All right, let's go to verse 3.
Right.
And this is Israel. And this is the people God delivered out of the miraculously out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea. Listen to what he does to them.
And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines?
Oh,
let us bring
can you
the Ark
imagine,
of the Covenant."
Raven, hold on.
Right.
Hold on. Can you
right,
imagine?
Yeah.
And we're going to say when disaster happens in this country, why? How could God do this to me? I give money to the church. I paint the building. I go on foreign trips, and I help rebuild Costa Rica or the Dominican Republic when it has a tornado hit it. How could God do this?
Yes. It's the atheists who are shaking their fists at the sky saying, "How dare you kill my child?" But then on the other side of their mouth say, "I don't believe in God." Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Exactly.
Now look at this. Mm-hmm. The people came into the camp, and the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Now look what the people of Israel do next. Go ahead.
Okay. "Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies."
Ah. Whoa.
In other words, let's put a cross up on my wall. That'll save me.
Well, but hold
right.
on. At least they're turning to God here. They're turning to God. Let's
Except
see what
in superstition. They're turning to religion. They're turning to religion. Superstitious. If I have the thing here, the thing will save me. It says, let's get the Ark of the Covenant.
Raven, slow down a minute. I have not finished my statement. We have
sorry.
Not finished reading the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. What
All
I'm
right.
showing you here is a cause and effect. After these people lose 4,000 men in one day, how much are we going to have to suffer in the USA Christian churches before we finally even turn back to thinking about God? That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying superstition. I was raised in a religion
where
you wore a crucifix around your neck. You wore a scapula. You went all through. I know more than 90% of the people probably listen to Christian radio what superstition is. But I see something here that could be, and we're going to read and see. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant. How long is it going to take us, folks, in the United States before we get serious about 70 to 90 million being murdered, and with us not voting against it and us tolerating it, how long is it going to take us to suffer before we decide to turn back to God? That's my point. How long?
Gotcha.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, four.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I had to ask you a question because you said something and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is a scapula? Scapula. What is that?
Scapula is a, it was a piece of material that had certain religious statements on it. And if you wore that and it was blessed and you wore it for so many months, you would get, and made novenas and things. I don't want to go into all of it because it's a lot of religious laws.
Right.
But it would be something that under certain conditions, if you met them, you would get a plenary indulgence, which would wipe away all your purgatory time. And that's the short part of it.
Oh, so very superstitious type of thing then. Yeah.
Well, all religion. Here, all religion
is
superstitious, including those that tell you all you have to do is accept Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Be baptized in water. That's superstition just as much as the denomination I was raised in. Okay.
Was this one of those things that go around your neck? Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah. It was
the
a
shawl
material,
type thing?
Okay. One across. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's
okay.
No different
I just was
than
curious.
Race car drivers. Hold on. It's no different than back in the late 40s and the 50s or 60s, and I am a great auto racing fan. I would look at race cars, and many of them had the St. Christopher medal in attached to the dashboard of the car, of the race car.
Gotcha.
Superstition.
Gotcha.
No different,
folks,
than superstition that says you must be baptized in water. No different than superstition that says your sins are all exonerated and you're saved. You're in the Harper Valley PTA when all you do is ask Christ into your heart. Just trust Christ. Not one word about repentance. Not one word about turning from your cell phone. Where before you get out of bed in the morning, you got any pornography on it you want.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So
when are we
going
to get to the point we say, when are we going to get to the point where we say, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy? We ain't there yet. How much more is it going to take Christianity?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Now with Paul Harvey's statement, let's go to the rest of the story.
So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before." Okay. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men.
Let's stop right there.
Okay.
How long is it going to be? How much are we going to have to lose in verse 2 before we turn to God, which they did in verse 3? Now, I will confess something to you. When I first started reading this and I got to verse 3, I thought this was all a scam. But as you go down and read, these people were sincere. How far are we in the American Christian Church going to have to go before we turn back? Or may we never? May is judgment already started. That's a question I'm asking you. I don't want to take this as history. I want to
take this
and apply it to me. Huh?
I think it's a possibility. The judgment has already started.
Oh, I
judgment.
Do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But hold on a minute. Even if it has, we can still reach the remnant. So don't quit.
Yes.
But look at this.
Yeah, exactly.
How much is modern Christianity, with its multi-trillion-dollar business, going to have to lose before we turn back to God? Before we have evil ministers making comments about you, the Bible is not pertinent to today. Today is not pertinent to the Bible. You realize, folks,
right.
Well, this is the voice of Satan speaking through people who are supposedly ordained ministers. How much more are we going to have to go through before? And maybe it's over. Remember what God did many times in the Old Testament. When he determined that your number's up, it's up. It don't make any difference what you do.
Right. Absolutely.
Now notice in verse 8, the enemy knew what these gods, even though they hated God, they knew what they did to the Egyptians. When are we going to go on the offense? We talk about all this victory in Jesus, power in the blood, and we sit there like wimps. I'm not sure we're wimps. I think we're just so darn anxious to get out of church and get our obligation done. And I'm not saying everybody, folks.
Right.
I'm talking the church in general. And if somebody thinks I'm just being crude, which I am, I accept that. Look at the condition of the United States of America. Look at the condition that your grandkids are growing up in right now.
Yes. Yeah. Mutilating children.
All right. Yes. Now let's go to verse 9. This is now the continuation. The Philistines are talking. They know that the God who wiped out Egypt and caused tremendous pain and suffering in Egypt, they know this God is now with the Hebrews, and they know the Hebrews have turned back to God. So go ahead with the 9.
All right. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight.
Okay, now.
So the Philistines.
What does biblical Christians do? What did the Hebrews do, which were biblical followers of God in those days? It says, O Philistines, that you not be servants unto the Hebrews. 450 years in the book of Judges, 9 times after God had forgiven them, they willingly went and served other pagan gods. Willingly.
Yes.
We're doing the same thing, folks. We're doing the same thing in the churches today when we're degrading the Bible. We're giving sermons off of sermon.com. We don't even have the trust in God to believe that he'll give us something to say in a Bible study. We're preaching and teaching out of commentary.
Yes.
What in the
heaven's
name?
But we're serving a king.
We are trying to serve the enemy. And these heathens, the Philistines, were smart enough to know we don't want to become slaves of the Hebrews.
Right.
All right, go to verse 10.
All right. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. 30,000. Also, the Ark of God was captured.
Okay, what does this mean? Do you see what I'm saying, folks? I told you earlier in Hebrews 3, 7 through 11, that there came a time with the people that God took through the Red Sea, where there came a time where God said, you're done. they wept and they cried and they did this and they did that. Now, back to your original point, Raven, and you are right. It appears you are right. When they were just going to bring back, they were going to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. It doesn't mean that they were going to repent. And that's where I see us today. When things get tight, first thing we want to do, we got to all have prayer meetings. Are we really turning back to God? Are we really confessing our sin? You see now where God's allowed 30,000 men to be killed in one day? The mere fact that they turned back to God, and you were right, Raven, but I wanted to get there the long way, in verse 3.
Right.
It was just religion. It was religion. It was religion. And that is what the modern church is today. We're oozing out of our pores, every pore in our body, religion, rather than faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen. We still want to do it ourselves.
The only effect that we see about their religion in verse 3, they're the you-know-what. As Pastor Dave says, the H-E double toothpicks, it scared the H-E double toothpicks out of the Philistines.
Yeah.
But there comes a point, folks. Have the United States crossed the point of no return? I don't know. Well, that's not biblical. It is biblical if you don't repent. That happened in Hebrews 3, 7 through 11, where God said they did not rest in me while for 40 years. They did not trust me. They will never enter my rest, which means an eternity. Are we pushing that envelope in this country? I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just asking.
Right.
Take this stuff as written to you. 1 Samuel chapter 4 is not written to any culture. It's written to you and I, folks. And look, they lost 30,000 men. And what happened to the Ark of God, the religious exercise? Read 11.
Right. Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died.
There you go. Now, these two sons of Eli, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Eli was a sort of the high priest of the priests. He had two sons who were also priests. But 1 Samuel 2:12 says the sons of Eli were sons of Satan, Belial, and they knew not the Lord. How many people are in the ministry today that we are paying after-tax money to and paying allegiance to who are not even born again? They're sons of Belial. I'm telling you, we got to wake up, folks. I'm not saying start a revolution. Don't say one word. If you determine your church is not biblically correct, quietly leave. Don't start a rebellion. Don't get people on your side. That is not the point. Get out of it. You better take care of yourself, folks. You better take care of yourself. I personally, and it's only an opinion, I think we have passed the line of no return, but there are still human souls, the remnant, that we can rescue. And that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
That's why, Raven, when you said pray for people, these abortion people who are having abortions, that is a great idea. You're not going to change the country. It's gone. We're done. We have cast our lot with abortion, and we're going to pay for it. But the point is you can still go to individual people and pull them out, as James says, literally from the fire of hell.
Yeah.
So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Right. Right. But we're not going to win people over by screaming and yelling and burning down abortion clinics and killing people.
Well, that's,
we're going to win
people. How?
We're going to win people with the same love that Christ had, with the love of Christ, with giving the gospel to people. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't the occasional need for the way Paul went up to Peter and said to his face, you're a hypocrite. But that has to be done with God telling you when to do that. We don't just go,
that's a watchman.
You know.
That's a watchman.
Right. But we have to be very careful. We don't just go running around telling people, you're a sinner and you're this. And we have to be very careful because we don't want to push people away from God. We want to draw people to God, you know. And and we cannot expect the same behavior from unsaved people as we expect from saved people. They don't know him. They don't have the ability to change. They have no ability to change. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. So when you are out there screaming and yelling and calling people, calling people names and telling them, you know, how horrible they are. Oh, yeah, they are. They don't even know Christ. I mean, even as Christians, we goof up. So to sit here and tell people, you know, you're just a horrible person and you're a sinner and blah, blah, blah. Well, of course they are. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't call out the sin, but to tell a person in particular, you know, you're just an evil, awful person, we're not really making any headway.
What are we to do?
That's
Let's get
opinion.
To the Bible. Hold on. But hold on.
Right.
Let's go away from opinion.
Yeah.
I want you to read Romans 1:16.
Yeah. I'm headed right there.
This is what
Romans
we're to
1:16.
Do. Yeah, no debate
For
about
I am,
it, no opinions. Let's read the let's read what has the power to change these people, because Raven's right. These people can't change. They don't have any concept of what you're talking about.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first
just,
and also for the Greek.
Let's just think of this. Let's think of this, folks. The gospel, the words of the Bible, which we have pastors and multimillionaire evangelists saying and ridiculing. That is the words of the God of the Bible. The words of Scripture have the power to change these people. You see why Raven says don't blow up buildings or anything? Because it's worthless.
Yeah.
The thing that we've got to do is what we don't want to do, and we're told implicitly or explicitly in the churches don't do, and that is bring the gospel to them. Bring the message of the Bible. Only the words of God will have the power to change them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
All right. 1 Corinthians 1, I'm there.
Okay. I want you to go ahead and read verse 18.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, 18, 19, 20, 21, 18 through 21. This is it again, folks. Even though the church today ridicules the Bible, most people walk into church without a Bible. Most people do not read the Bible at home. The only thing that you can do to these poor people who are killing their own children is bring the power of God to them, and the very words of the Scripture have the power of God. Now, we just read it in one verse. Let's read four verses. That you can't misunderstand this. You can't.
Yes.
As much as
for
the church might try to make you misunderstand it. Go ahead.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Do you see where that's exactly what Romans 1:16 says?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The words of the Bible, folks. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inspired every word.
Yeah.
The words actually have the power. Raven is right. you tell these people that they're going to go to hell and they can't relate.
Right.
But the words of God.
They look at you like that deer in the headlights, you know. Right?
Yeah, but you said, what can we do? This is what we can do. We don't need an opinion.
Yeah.
You don't need an
right.
opinion. Just read what the Bible says. Read the Word of God to them because the Word of God has the power.
Yes. For it is
now,
written.
Now, that doesn't mean that you got to quote the King James Version or whatever version.
Right.
Give them what the Word of God said. Don't add to it or subtract.
Yeah,
because that has the power to change them. You really want to help people? Give them the Word of God. Nothing changed you or I except the Word of God if we haven't been changed, and that's a question mark.
Amen, amen.
All right,
for
let's go
written.
To verse 9. Let's read, yeah, verse 19 is what the modern church has been doing about abortion. We're using man's wisdom. We're not bringing them the gospel because we are ashamed of it, which Paul said it isn't. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is an offense, and we don't want to offend anybody. Heavens no. Go ahead.
Right. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Okay, when folks in churches are we going to tell are we going to demand from the so-called people called by God, the pastors and teachers of the churches, when are we going to demand that we don't want any more wisdom of men? I don't want any more pastors when you ask them, and this is a real life situation, went up to ask the pastor, well, show me in the Bible where that's in the Bible. He said, it's not in the Bible, but it's what I think. I don't want any more man's wisdom, folks. Don't we see where this country has gone from a superpower to, instead of Uncle Sam, it's Uncle Sap? The rest of the world looks at us as a joke, and we are. Why? Because we have left God. The same as the Philistines look at Israel as a joke. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's in the churches. Does Carl say don't go to church? I never said that. I have always gone to church, and I always will. I will make it my business to find a church that is preaching the truth. They're out there. So don't use that as an excuse. Don't say Carl said don't go to church because I don't follow that myself. But I'm telling you, you got to demand that people go back to the Word of God in these churches or get out and support a church that is preaching the Word of God. Usually the church that's preaching the Word of God is going to have 10 people in it. And Raven and I know that story.
Yeah, true.
I got to tell you, in fact, let me interrupt this a minute. I got a call, Raven, Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
It lasted 3 hours.
Wow.
From the pastor's ex-wife. Tuesday night, remind me. I got to tell you about that.
Wow, that's amazing.
I don't know that you ever met her. I don't know you did. You may have.
No, I did not.
Okay. Remind me to tell you about that. That was the most edifying phone call I've had because I was afraid this lady had given up, and yet she is trusting Christ more than I envy her and her faith in Christ.
That's wonderful. I had thought that things were going the other way. So
I did too.
Oh, that's a blessing.
I even told her.
That's a blessing.
I told her that. I said I thought everything I've been hearing from the peanut gallery, and she she said no. All of this stuff has only made me depend more on Christ and become more dependent on Him. No, it was a great conversation. Yep.
That's beautiful.
All right, let's go to verse
20 and 21.
Let me
just say, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice when we hear this kind of news,
you
know,
and
to everyone
out
there.
Yeah.
Yes, when we hear that either someone has come back to Christ or someone is, you know, moving further back into their, you know, relationship with Christ, whatever, you know, or someone has come to Christ that wasn't before, we need to rejoice with someone like that, because that is, if the angels in heaven, Scripture tells us, are rejoicing, why would we not? You know, that is beautiful, beautiful news.
And anyhow, folks, we should be excited. What we're talking about is a pastor. He was one of the three best preachers I've ever heard. And he had like 10 or 11 people. You're going to preach the truth, you're not going to have these ridiculous numbers and incomes. But you know what? The word of God is the power that will change these poor girls who are having abortions. All right, go ahead with 20 and 21.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
And that includes the churches, folks, when they are not preaching the scripture, or they're preaching the scripture by cherry-picking verses and not giving you the whole counsel of God to establish their agenda only. All this nonsense is a Bible study when we give you a piece of paper folded so you got four pages. And then they print verses in there with words missing. We did that in New York City when I went to grade school, and the nuns used to give us, in the third grade, we get sentences with a word missing. We're back to the third grade, and that's just what we're doing.
Right.
In churches today, that you even know where this church is. We're calling that a Bible study? That is an insult to the Bible. Okay, go to verse 21.
And it's an insult to our intelligence, really. You know, it really is.
It
really
when
is.
When you think of it. But you know what, Raven, we fall for it. There's people,
and
I know that this is the greatest Bible study in the world. And
yeah.
of course, the verses are all hand-picked. They don't give you a whole chapter where you read the context. But
This
is not the... Me venting is not the purpose of this show. The purpose of this, folks,
well,
is
the
to
thing
turn
is,
this...
Though, the thing is, we just sit there and we nod our heads and go along with what's said without ever being like the Bereans and going back and studying Scripture to find out if all of that really makes sense according to God's truth. That's
okay, Raven, go to Acts 17:11, because I don't want people to think you're making this up. Acts 17:11.
Yeah.
Wow, we've
I've even got it underlined. I've even got it underlined. And all kinds of notes. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
And guess who was the teacher, folks? It was Paul. And Paul was saying, search the scriptures daily to make sure what I'm telling you. Paul.
Yes. Absolutely. He didn't want them to just believe what he said. He wanted them to look up what he said and search it.
Exactly. Why? Because the very things Paul wrote, the words of God have the ability to change you. Let's finish 20 and 21 in 1 Corinthians 1.
The rest of 20. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes. And you know what's interesting about that sentence? We can use God's word only to make foolish the wisdom of the world.
And
when someone uses some sort of church tradition, the only thing to counter
and that's
with
what
is
we're
God's
doing.
Word.
That's what we're doing, Raven. That's why we've got 90 million abortions and the church has done nothing. All right, yep. Verse 21 is really going to give the clue. Repeat what we just read in verse 18 and Romans 1:16. Go ahead.
All right. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased
That's
God
what you're saying, Raven. Hold on. That's what you said about
yeah.
going up to these people and telling them they're evil people. They don't have any clue what
yeah.
you're talking about. Now,
yeah.
verse the rest
yeah.
of this verse is going to go with verse 18. Verse 18
yeah.
says, the power of God is in the word of God. Read the rest of 21.
Yes. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
And
yeah,
we in the churches are getting away from, and we are getting away by your pastors and your teachers from the word of God. When are we going to wake up and say, enough's enough, folks. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yes.
I personally
yes.
don't think we are, but each one of you individually, folks, can make a difference. Don't go
Amen.
Out and protest. Don't stand up and argue with a pastor during a sermon. Just quietly
right.
go to God first. You act
yes.
like you want wisdom on what to do, ask God what to do. God will never have
yes.
you start an insurrection. That's not his style. Go to
yes,
God
absolutely.
First and ask what to do. But folks, we gotta draw a line in the sand. We gotta repent before it's too late. There's gonna come a time when we're not gonna have the time to repent. And even if the country,
yeah.
even if Christianity in America is under condemnation already, individually we can still repent. Please don't give up on it. Please
Absolutely.
Don't give up. Okay,
yeah.
we're going to have to sign off and say a prayer. This was,
oh,
I wish we had
already?
Another half hour, but, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're done.
I didn't realize it was already that late. Okay.
Yep.
Father, we thank you for this. For the study today. This has been marvelous and enlightening, and we
Amen.
Appreciate
Amen.
The Holy Spirit so much, so much. And we thank you for this week, and we pray that you will bring us back next week with another wonderful study from your Holy Spirit to teach us even more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Carl.
Raven, are you going to be there this evening?
No, I won't.
No, I'm not putting pressure. Okay. Well, then I will
Tuesday.
Talk to you on Tuesday night then. Yeah.
Yes, I will. All right. Thank you so
okay.
much, Carl.
Thank
uh-huh.
you for calling and
Bye-bye.
Thank you for taking part. Folks, thank you,
uh-huh.
for,
thank you.
For listening. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.